Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the familiar Christmas story found in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. It was 11:30 at night. The 19-year-old young woman was all alone in the house. The power had gone out, and she heard now a noise in the basement. And she crept down with a flashlight down the basement steps, and in the moonlight glow she could sense a shadow moving behind her. And all of a sudden we hear one solitary violin note playing. Directors of movies have ways of setting us up to be scared very well, to be absolutely terrified. It's interesting, isn't it, how even going into a movie theater, watching something on a screen, that we can be drawn into it enough that even though we're well aware that this is all imagination driven and that this is not something happening in reality, that it still can produce that reaction in us sometimes, that sense of fear and terror and anticipation and so on. What types of things in your life have caused you to be afraid? We kind of measure fear in levels, don't we? There are certain things that just seem to get us more than other things. Maybe you've had a close call on an icy patch of road. I've had times when I've been driving on the highway and all of a sudden just feel the car just for half a second, just feels like it gets out of control. And just that rush of adrenaline that you feel in your body is amazing. Maybe it's the possibility of having to go in and hear of a health problem, or being afraid now that there's maybe something medically wrong with you. Parents will tell you that the fear of losing a child has to be one of the most horrific feeling terrors that you can have. I have a brother-in-law and sister-in-law that had an intruder in their home, even in one of their daughter's bedrooms one night. And just that sense of fear and terror that can come over a person. In the text before us, Luke describes how the shepherds, once this angel appears to them in the sky outside of Bethlehem, were told that they were afraid with great fear. They were greatly afraid. You can hear it in the actual Greek words. Even if you don't know Greek, listen to these words. Ephobethezon phobon megon. Phobia, fear, megon, big time. They were afraid with extreme fear, is the way you could translate that. It would be hard for Luke to have come up with more intense Greek language to describe how absolutely terrified these shepherds were. Now, why would they react like this? Why does the sight of an angel cause people so often in Scripture to be terrified, we're always told? Now, it might be partly because these Hebrew shepherds had probably heard stories like you and I have as well about the Passover and how God would at times use angels in ways that could bring such death and destruction and so on, and I'm sure that could be part of it. But it's more than that. This is something that is outside of the normal, the usual. It is something that is otherworldly. And that has a sense of magnifying our vulnerability. of magnifying the great contrast between us as mortal, weak, limited human beings and someone representing, in a sense, this otherworldliness, this almightiness, and so on. And so there's this intense feeling and sense of defenselessness when you're in the presence of an angel, it would appear. On top of that, it has to do with who these messengers also represent. They are creatures representing the Almighty God, the Almighty Holy God, who knows everything about us. And so the gut reaction in these shepherds would be similar to ours if we experienced this kind of a thing. It's just terror, sheer terror. That's the initial gut reaction to some messenger representing heaven. Now think of it. If that's how we would respond to a messenger from heaven who is not God himself, who's just coming to represent him, how much more terror might we feel were it God himself that we suddenly were confronted with? That thought brings to mind to us just how sinful we are, how weak we are, how mortal we are. It brings to mind our true condition since the fall into sin. Adam and Eve never felt that way before the fall when God would speak to them. But after, completely changed. But what a shift we see in the actual message that the angels have come to bring. In fact, the first thing out of the mouth of this shepherd is to disarm this fear, is to set it aside. Do not be afraid. That's not why I'm here, to terrify you. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I'm here to tell you about something that has to do with this very issue of fear that you have about God. I have come to deliver to you a message and to point you to where God is now going to enter the world and has entered the world that takes away and disarms this intense fear that you can have about God. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And then he includes your name right in the Luke account, which shall be to all people. And here we sit. The reason that this fear is to be put aside, the reason why this terrifying reaction in us does not have to be there, is found in the one to whom they are directed in the town of Bethlehem. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And he tells him to go and find this way that God has now entered the world in the form of a tiny little hours-old baby. It's hard to be intimidated by a baby. Babies are disarming and they are unintimidating. They are innocent and tender and gentle, and their sense of vulnerability and innocence just brings out and evokes in us a completely different reaction and mood, doesn't it? Maybe some of you have heard me tell this story before, that my grandpa had a book that had all of these stories in it of real accounts that had happened in history of different interesting things. And one that he had in there is a story about a Russian prison in the 1930s or 40s, I believe it was. And there was it was a women's prison in Siberia. And apparently these women were so unruly and no one could take care of them. And different wardens would go and stay there for a year or two and they couldn't take it and they would leave. And this new young prison warden had arrived, a colonel from the Russian army, and he and his wife were living there on the compound. And one day his wife was walking through the compound area with a little baby in her arms, and all of these unruly women, the prisoners, rushed to the side of the gate to watch her go by with the baby, just to see get a glimpse of the baby. And she went in and said to her husband, "You know what we should do? We should set up a behavior thing, modification thing for these prisoners, that if they are good and behave themselves, they can come and spend some time with the baby." And it completely changed the problems in the prison. There's something about a tender, innocent little child that speaks differently to us. Now just think of it. This is how the Almighty, all-powerful, all-holy God of the universe has chosen to enter your world and where he invites you to come and find him. If any embodiment of the heart of God could be more tender and gentle and loving and innocent and welcoming than the face of a little child like this, what else could there be? This brings to mind what St. Paul says to us in his letter to the Romans, that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no reason to be afraid of him anymore. We have peace with God. Just look at the baby's face. God could have decided to enter our world in power and majesty. He could have chosen to come in some form that would have just intimidated you and caused you to drop to your knees in fear and be terrified and forced you to fall at his knees. But instead, he decides to come as a little infant, and he decides to work through your heart. He decides to come and work through you with his love, with his mercy, with his compassion, and his tenderness. And through my sinful mouth today, he invites you to the manger of his Son. And you'll find him there in the manger of his word and sacraments. And there God smiles at you and says, "You have no reason to be afraid. Just think of how much I love you." Amen. Please rise. I invite you to join me now in the collect for the third week of Advent. You'll find it on page 147, page 147 in the front part of your hymn book. Collect number 6, page 147. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you gave your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to become man and to come into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil. Deliver us poor offenders from sin and death, and give us everlasting life. We beseech you so to rule and govern our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may seek no other refuge than his word, and thus avoid the sin to which we are by nature inclined, in order that we may always be found among the faithful followers of your Son, Jesus Christ, and by faith in him obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.